one verse is our text today, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12.
Title of the message this morning, Why You Can't Afford to Be Impatient. Why you can't afford to be impatient. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12 says, That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word today. Pray, Lord, that if there is any of us here today that have the tendency to be impatient, Lord, that you would teach us patience. Lord, that we might learn why we need to be patient and why we can't afford to be impatient. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. St. Francis of Assisi said, No one will ever know the full depth of his capacity for patience and humility as long as nothing bothers him. It is only when times are troubled and difficult that he can see how much of either is in him. After several hours of fishing, a little girl suddenly threw down her pole and cried, I quit. What's the matter? Her father asked her. Nothing, said the child, except I just can't seem to get waited on. We know that patience is important, but I wonder if we realize the cost of being impatient. We know that it is important for us to be patient, but I wonder if we realize what we lose out on when we are impatient. There was once a fellow who, with his dad, farmed a little piece of land. Several times a year, they would load up the old ox-drawn cart with vegetables and go into the nearest city to sell their produce. Except for their name and the patch of ground, father and son had very little in common. The old man believed in taking it easy. He was the laid-back type. The son, the boy, was usually in a hurry. He was the go-getter type. One morning, bright and early, they hitched up the ox to the loaded cart and started out on a very long journey. The son figured that if they walked faster and kept going all day and all night, they'd make it to the market by early the next morning. So he kept prodding the ox on with a stick, urging the beast to move on. Take it easy, son, said the old man. You'll last longer. But if we get to market ahead of the others, we'll have a better chance of getting good prices, argued the son. No reply. Dad just pulled his hat down over his eyes and fell asleep on the seat. Itchy and irritated, the young man kept goading the ox to walk faster. His stubborn pace refused to change. 4 hours and 4 miles later, down the road, they came to a little house. The father woke up, smiled, and said, Here's your uncle's place. Let's stop in and say hello. But we've lost almost an hour already, complained the hotshot. Then a few minutes more won't matter. My brother and I used to be so close, yet we see each other so seldom, the father answered slowly. The boy fidgeted and fumed while the two old men laughed and talked for almost an hour. Finally, on the move again, the man took his turn leading the ox. As they approached a fork in the road, the father led the ox to the right. But the left is the shorter way, said the son. I know it, replied the old man, but this way is much prettier. Have you no respect for time? The young man asked impatiently. Oh, I respect it very much. That's why I like to use it to look at the beauty of God's creation and enjoy each moment to the fullest. The winding path led through graceful meadows, wildflowers, and along a rippling stream, all of which the young man missed as he turned within, preoccupied and boiling with anxiety. He didn't even notice the lovely sunset that day. Twilight found them, and it looked like a huge, colorful garden. The old man breathed in the aroma, listened to the babbling brook, and pulled the ox to a halt. Let's sleep here, he sighed. This is the last trip I'm making with you, snapped the son. You're more interested in watching sunsets and smelling flowers than you are in making money. Why, that's the nicest thing you've said in a long time, smiled the dad. A couple of minutes later, he was snoring as his boy glared back at the stars. The night dragged slowly, the son was restless. Before sunrise, the young man hurriedly shook his father awake. They hitched up and went on. About a mile down the road, they happened upon another farmer, a total stranger trying to pull his cart out of a ditch. "Let's give him a hand," whispered the old man. "And lose more time," the boy exploded. "Relax, son. You might be in a ditch sometime yourself. We need to help others in need. Don't forget that." The boy just looked away in anger. It was almost 8 o'clock that morning by the time the other cart was back on the road. Suddenly, a great flash of light split the sky. What sounded like thunder followed. Beyond the hills, the sky grew dark. I'd like to give you some examples this morning of impatience. And as I thought about these examples, I came up with the title this morning, "You Really Cannot Afford to Be Impatient." There are a number of examples that we could look at from Scripture. Just let me give you a few of those this morning. First of all, there was Moses. Moses was impatient at the murmurings of Israel. And the Scripture puts it like this in Numbers chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes." What did God say to do the rock? Speak to it, right? I want you to notice that. "Speak to them to the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice." What did he do? Hit the rock, right? How many times? Twice. What was he supposed to do to the rock? Speak to it. He was supposed to speak to the rock, but in his impatience at the people and in his anger then, he smote the rock twice, and the water did come out. The water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their beasts also. Verse 12, though, is God's reprimand to Moses for disobedience. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." Moses in this passage got angry. And because of his anger and because of his disobedience in smiting the rock twice when he was told to speak to it, Moses missed out, get this, Moses missed out on the promised land. He missed out on going into the promised land because of his disobedience. Naaman is another example of impatience. Naaman at the conditions imposed by the prophet. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, it says, "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth." I mean, he was mad. He was angry. And the reason he was angry was because here he had come all this way, and Elisha, the prophet, didn't even come out to see him. He sent a servant to talk to him and just told him what to do. And Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over this place and recover the leper." Naaman, as a leper, he got angry and he almost missed out on a healing, and he would have missed out on the healing if it wasn't for a little servant girl that talked some sense into him and to his servants who talked some sense into him. Jonah, at the blasting of the gourd, got angry. Jonah chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, "It came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, It is better for me to die than to live." Hope nobody's ever gotten that angry before. "And God said to Jonah, Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death." He said, I have a right to be angry. I have a right to be so angry that I could die. Imagine that. Jonah was so angry he wanted to die. That's pretty angry, isn't it? And then another example is the disciples at the outcry of the Syrophoenician woman. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 22 through 24, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him," unto Jesus, "saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away." They became impatient with her. "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." The disciples grew impatient with this woman, and their anger caused them to be blinded to a need that this woman had and a need that her daughter had to be set free from demonic powers. James and John, another example, at the inhospitality of the Samaritans, Luke 9:54, "And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" Their anger enraged them to the point where they wanted to kill people. They became so angry that they wanted to kill these Samaritans. One more example of Martha with her sister Mary in Luke chapter 10 and verse 40. "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." That was number one, examples of impatience. Number two today, what impatience does. What impatience does. Here is what impatience does. It causes you to get angry. Impatience leads to anger, and then that anger and that impatience causes you to miss out on a blessing. That's why you can't afford to be impatient, because your impatience will lead you to anger, and that in turn will cause you to miss out on a blessing that God has for you. Moses got angry and missed out on the promised land. Naaman got angry and almost missed out on a healing. Jonah got angry and missed out on the joy of seeing an entire city saved. The disciples got angry and almost missed seeing a sheep that was lost be brought back into the fold. Martha got angry and missed out on what the important thing to do was, and that was to sit at the feet of Jesus and worship him. And I must ask you this question this morning. How impatient are you? How impatient are you? What causes you to be impatient? And then in turn, what causes you to be angry? What blessings have you missed out on because of your impatience and your anger? You know, usually we get impatient with people. And sometimes we get impatient with God. Who are you impatient with? Who are the people in your life? You know who they are. Who are the people that you are impatient with? You know, you cannot afford to be impatient with them, because it will cause you to miss out on blessings in your life. I don't want that to happen. Through faith and patience, we obtain the blessings. Blessings that God has for each and every one of us. You can't afford to be impatient today because you become angry. And anger will damage your health. And anger will destroy your relationships. And anger will turn your children away from you and cause them to be rebellious. Anger is a giant that every person must conquer. Anger is a deep-rooted problem. You'll only be able to get rid of anger as you get down to the roots of it. And actually, anger has a twin, and that is lust. And the key to understanding anger is impatience. See, impatience is cumulative. It builds up. You become more and more and more impatient, and it leads to anger, and we all know that anger can even become violent. So there's this obvious relationship there. Number three, what patience is. What patience is. The word patience presupposes an adverse situation that must be endured. So patience is accepting a difficult situation from God without giving him a deadline to remove it. Let me give you that definition again. Accepting a difficult situation from God without giving him a deadline to remove it. Patience is welcoming trials and tribulations as friends and allowing them to perfect our character. Patience is enjoying the fellowship of Christ's sufferings in order to give life to others. Patience is staying in God's crucible until his purification is finished. Patience is letting God choose the time for reaping the fruits of my labors. Patience is a reward for properly responding to trials and tribulations. Psalm 37 and verse 7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." The word patiently means to writhe in pain, as in bringing forth a child, to bear, to bring forth, to be sorrowful, and to travail. So rest in the Lord and travail through that difficult situation as you are patiently waiting on God. Psalm verse chapter 40 and verse 1 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." The word here means to bind together by twisting, to collect, to gather together, to tarry, to expect. So while you are waiting on the Lord, you are expecting him to move on your behalf. There are two primary Greek words that are translated patience. One means to endure with cheerfulness and to be constant. You know, I tell my children it's not just enough to obey, but I want them to obey cheerfully. And here's what God's saying to us about patience. It's not that I just want you to wait, but I want you to tarry and endure cheerfully. Its root meaning is to undergo and to bear trials, to have fortitude, to persevere. The second Greek word for patience means to be forbearing, long-spirited, and long-suffering. It is by faith in this Greek word that our text is talking about. It is by faith in this Greek word for patience that we inherit the promises of God. So if I could just expound on that a little bit, it is by faith and forbearance and long-spirited and long-suffering that we inherit the promises of God. So you can't afford to be impatient. You have to be long-spirited, you have to be long-suffering in order to obtain the blessings and the promises of God. Number four, how patience is developed. How many of you have ever prayed for patience? I see your hand. I have. I prayed for patience. You know, God, give me patience, but please, Lord, hurry. Do you realize what you were praying for when you were praying for patience? Probably we have no idea. We just think that God is automatically going to make us a patient person. I don't know about you, but I've noticed that whenever I pray for patience, I always get in the longest line in the checkout. Not on purpose. It seems to be the shortest, but it winds up taking the longest time. Or I get stuck in a traffic jam. I'm very impatient now when I drive in cities, big cities. I hate stop and go lights. I just like to go. It seems like when we pray for patience, God puts us in places where we have to practice and learn patience, doesn't it? It's a scriptural concept, because patience is brought about by tribulation. One of the things you're asking for when you ask for patience is you're asking for tribulation. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4 says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." Troubles work patience. Verse 4, "And in patience experience, and experience hope. And the development of patience through tribulations is confirmed in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." The trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That is the end result: perfection, maturity, completeness, lacking in nothing. We've all heard of the legendary patience of Job. And in James chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." The suffering that Job endured is astonishing. I mean, how many of us could have ever endured all that Job endured? And yet his response reveals the purifying and perfecting that patience in trials produces in a believer's life. Because, please understand this point, those who wait patiently upon the Lord, those who endure patiently, though they may experience great loss, can expect great gain. If you are patient and you have been through trials and tribulations and you have suffered great loss, I want you to know that you will experience great gain. That's why you can't afford to be impatient. You need to have patience. Let it perform its perfect work so that in the end result, you lack nothing. Those who wait on the Lord through great loss experience great gain. Think about it. Job lost 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys. But God blessed him, and in return, he got twice the amount. He got 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. You can't afford to be impatient, because if you are patient and you wait upon the Lord, the end result of that is God is going to bless you. When the trial is over, when the tribulation is over, when it's all said and done, God is going to bless you. God will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There will not be room enough to receive it. Patience is also brought through anguish. The quality of patience presupposes suffering and anguish. It's in the definition of the words. The trials and tribulations requiring patience have a purifying effect on those who endure them. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. The suffering we too are endure with patience also powerfully benefits the lives of others who watch our faith grow during times of trials. Number three, patience is also brought on by learning about love, by having true love. Do you know that time ceases to be a factor when patience is motivated by love? Here's Jacob, waiting 7 years to marry his bride. But you know, the scripture says that those 7 years of waiting seemed like a few days because of the great love that he had for Rachel. Learn how to love. Learn how to grow in love. Have God's kind of love. You'll develop patience. Number four, realizing why patience is necessary. Patience is necessary. These are all scriptural things. I'm not going to give you verses for these this morning, but patience is necessary to see the end of the wicked, to produce a good harvest, to possess your souls, to receive glory and honor, to prepare for Christ's coming, to be a qualified leader, to run a good race. You cannot afford to be impatient. Number five, understanding the rewards of patience. The rewards are to see God answer our cries, to have hope, to be renewed with strength, to inherit promises, to become a mature believer, and to gain God's approval and the approval of others. You cannot afford to be impatient. If you are impatient, you will miss out on these rewards. A young man desired to go to India as a missionary. He was going with the London Missionary Society. Mr. Wilkes was appointed to consider the young man's fitness for such a post. He wrote to the young man and told him to call at him at 6 o'clock the next morning. Although the applicant lived many miles off, he was at the house punctually at 6 o'clock, where he was ushered into the drawing room. He waited and waited and waited, wonderingly but patiently. Finally, Mr. Wilkes entered the room about mid-morning. He'd been waiting there since 6 o'clock. Finally, about mid-morning, Mr. Wilkes entered. Without apology, he began, "Well, young man, so you want to be a missionary?" "Yes, sir, I do." "Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ?" "Yes, sir, I certainly do." "Have you any education?" "Well, yes, sir, a little." "Well, now, we'll try your education. Will you spell the word cat for me?" The young man looked confused, hardly knew how to answer such a preposterous question. His mind evidently halted between indignation and submission. But after a moment, he steadily replied, C-A-T, cat. Very good, said Mr. Wilkes. Now can you spell the word dog? The youthful boy was stunned, but replied, D-O-G, dog. Well, that is right. I see you will do well in your spelling. And now for your arithmetic. How much is 2 times 2? The patient youth gave the right reply and then was dismissed. Mr. Wilkes gave his report at the committee meeting. He said, I cordially recommend that young man. His testimony and character I have duly examined. I tried his self-denial. He was up in the morning early. I tried his patience by keeping him waiting. I tried his humility and temper by insulting his intelligence. He will do just fine as a missionary. See, you can't afford to be impatient. You can't afford to miss out on all the blessings that God has for you. You cannot afford to fail that test where patience is required. The sixth way of gaining patience is to study and engraft the book of James. Patience is the key word in the book of James. We're going to be studying that on Sunday night in great detail. We're going to expositorily take that book apart, and we're going to learn patience and how to be victorious in our life. And number 7, you can learn patience by seeing the results of impatience. Remember our story about the father and the son taking the load on the ox cart to market. It was almost 8 o'clock the next morning. That morning, by the time the other cart was back on the road, suddenly a great flash split the sky. What sounded like thunder followed. Beyond the hills, the sky grew dark. Looks like rain in the city, said the old man. If we had hurried, we'd be almost sold out by now, grumbled the son. Take it easy. You'll last longer, and you'll enjoy life so much more, counseled the old gentleman. It was late afternoon by the time they got to the top of the hill overlooking the city. They stopped and stared down at it for a long, long time. Neither of them said a word. Finally, the young man put his hand on his father's shoulder and said, I see what you mean, Dad. They turned their carts around and began to roll slowly away from what had once been the city of Hiroshima. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? You cannot afford to be impatient. But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I wonder if you would just be honest with yourself this morning. How patient are you? Is there room in your life for more patience? Maybe there's a person. You know that you're impatient with that person. Would you decide today with God's help? We're going to work at it. Showing a little more patience to that person. Are there situations that just try your patience? You know, I want to warn you. The end result of that situation could be a blessing. So don't become impatient. Through faith and patience, you'll inherit the blessing. But if we lack the faith, if we lack the patience, we'll miss out on the blessing. You think, well, maybe I'm not really such an impatient person. Do you have a tendency to be angry? To lose your temper? Is there somebody that you tend to be angry with? You don't like it, but you notice you're angry when you get around that person. Is there situations that cause you to be angry? Look what it did to Moses and the disciples. Look what it could have done to Naaman. Look what it caused Martha to do. And I would just encourage you today and challenge you today
to strive for patience.
Yes, you can pray for it, but I want you to realize that sometimes God just supernaturally gives us patience, but other times he puts us in the crucible. He puts us in times of trials that we learn to be patient. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, would you pray for me because I realize that there are areas where I certainly am impatient and I need God's help to be patient. Would you pray for me? Amen. I see that hand. Are there others? Amen. Lots of hands. Lord, you see these hands today. Lord, I thank you for their honesty. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to be patient. And Lord, I pray then that they would inherit the promises. Lord, that the next time they are tempted to be impatient, that your Spirit would prompt them. Lord, that you would give them the grace at that moment to exercise patience. And then, Lord, I pray that there would be fruit that would come into their lives, that would be evident that they are a patient person, and that there would be fruits, evidence of the Christian life and the Christian character. Lord, I pray that as we work on this character quality, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit and pour out your blessing upon each one, that we in turn could be a blessing to others. Lord, as Job has been to us, may others see our patience and our faith being strengthened in times of trials, that would encourage them to do the same and be the same. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you're patient with people, you can be a blessing.
Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad.
Sing the second verse, and then without singing the chorus, go right to the third verse, and then after the third verse, we will sing the chorus.
Tell the sweet story of Christ and his love. Tell of his power to forgive. Others will trust him if only you prove true every moment. Was given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing. Jesus shine.
Thank you for this time that we can come here and learn more about you, God. Lord, just give us patience today. Keep us from anger. Help us to be slow to anger, God. Lord, just be with each of us on our rides home, that we might drive safely. In your name, amen.